Hear the Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Luke. While they were talking about this, Jesus himself stood among them and said to them, "Peace be with you." They were startled and terrified and thought they were seeing a ghost. He said to them, "Why are you frightened? And why do doubts arise in your hearts? Look at my hands and my feet. See that it is I myself. Touch me and see, for a ghost does not have flesh and bones, as you see that I have." And when he had said this, he showed them his hands and his feet. While in their joy they were disbelieving and still wondering, he said to them, "Have you anything to eat?" They gave him a piece of broiled fish, and he took and ate it in their presence. He said to them, "These are my words that I spoke to you while I was still with you, that everything written about me in the law of Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms must be fulfilled." Then he opened their minds to understand the scriptures, and he said to them, "Thus it is written that the Messiah is to suffer and to rise from the dead on the third day, and that repentance and forgiveness of sins is to be proclaimed in his name to all nations, beginning from Jerusalem. You are witness to these things." And this is the gospel of the Lord. Praise to God. Father God, I pray that you'll touch my lips, that I may speak your word, that you'll touch our ears, that we may hear your word, and that you will touch our hearts, that we may be obedient to your word. And these things we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Do please sit down. One of the most popular and enduring genres of television entertainment are cookery programs. The first was piloted back in 1955 by Fanny and Johnny Craddock. Fanny was the culinary genius, while Johnny played the henpecked accomplice. They advocated bringing something called escoffier, standard food, to the British table, but rather precociously gave every dish a French name. More often than not, one of them would tell the back story to the recipe that they were presenting, perhaps associating the back story with a person, a place, or a historical event. To this day, watching television programs about cooking is many people's afternoon delight. Margaret likes to watch cooking programs, especially the competitions like MasterChef and Celebrity MasterChef. Like Fanny and Johnny, the competitors are often asked about the backstory to their recipes. Some of the competitors recall dishes made by their mothers or their grandmothers. Others, with an alternative cultural heritage, will conjure up culinary delights from faraway places infused with exotic herbs and spices and equally exotic happenstances. Today we heard in our reading from the Gospel according to Luke that the disciples gave Jesus a piece of broiled fish to eat so that Jesus could prove to his friends that he was real and not a ghost. Those of us who are old enough to remember Fanny and Johnny Craddock will be familiar with broiling as a method of cooking meat. For the younger souls among us, broiling is to grill or roast over an open flame, hot coals, or a griddle. And the word broil has its origins in the old French, to either burn, whatever. Okay, well, that's all well and good. But just why did Luke go to the trouble of telling us exactly how the disciples prepared the fish that was given to Jesus? Of the four evangelists, St. Luke is easily the most verbose. But that said, Luke does not waste words, but he explains things in a way that helps us to believe the truth about Jesus. And he says as much to his friend Theophilus, to whom he is writing. He says this: I myself have carefully investigated everything from the beginning, and I too decided to write an orderly account for you, most excellent Theophilus, so that you may know the certainty of the things that you have been taught about Jesus, that is. So I begin to wonder what the backstory behind the piece of broiled fish is. And what is it that Luke wanted to communicate to Theophilus, his friend, and to us today? Here we are at the culmination of God's redemptive plan for the world. And Christ, the risen Redeemer, is snacking on a piece of fish. Well, of course, there is many a backstory behind the earlier chapters of the story of God's redeeming of his precious children. Chapters where food is involved. And of course, the most significant episode in the history of the Jewish people is the Exodus from Egypt and the Passover. The children of Israel were captive in Egypt. Time and again, Pharaoh promised to release the people from captivity, and time and again, he reneged on his promises, bringing down God's wrath in the form of the seventh plague on Pharaoh and all Egyptians. And the final plague was to slay all the firstborn of the Egyptian people, even their livestock. The Jewish people, however, will be spared, providing, that is, they smeared the lintel and the door frames of their homes with the blood of a lamb. And moreover, that lamb was to be eaten, roasted with herbs. It was to become the backstory of the annual celebration of the Passover, when, to this day, Jewish people come together to celebrate the Passover with a meal at which lamb is served, roasted with herbs and eaten in solemn memory of their release from captivity. The meal was to be eaten in haste and was to be accompanied by unleavened bread, a reminder too of how God fed his people in the wilderness with manna, the bread from heaven. It was this celebration of the Passover that began the backstory to the meal that we shall share later, not just among this congregation, but as we gather around the Lord's table, we meet with our Christian brothers and sisters, near and far, living and departed, old and young. It was at that Last Supper that Jesus took bread and wine, and after he had given thanks, he shared it with his disciples, telling them to go on sharing bread and wine as tokens of his broken body and spilled blood, until that is at last we share at his table in the heavenly kingdom. The incarnate, crucified and risen Christ gives his people physical stuff, bread and wine, to symbolize his ministry and his kingdom mission. All of this involves people, place, and history. There are, of course, many other occasions in the Gospels where Jesus has come together with others over a meal. And I'm sure that there are many more occasions that haven't yet made it into the pages of the scriptures. You can be sure, however, that wherever that meal was recreated, the diners would have recalled how Jesus dined with them, turning even the most humble fare into a feast, and on at least one occasion, water into wine. St. John tells us that the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. The scriptures call God's people, you and me, to an earthly, real world embodied spirituality. Some would like to separate the physical from the spiritual, something once promoted in Gnosticism. But that's not what Jesus taught, nor is that what Jesus demonstrated throughout his life. The backstory to many of the meals referred to in the Bible show how earth and heaven, God and his people, come near to each other over a bite to eat. Whether the food is provided naturally or supernaturally, it is God's gifts, and we're shown how mealtimes can be a thin place where heaven and earth meet. But why? Why broiled fish? Jesus had met with the men where they were taking a break, having a bite to eat. My guess is that they'd taken some of the fish that they had caught, lit a fire. No fancy herbs or spices, no pots and pans, no fanfares, no fuss. And Jesus accepted them just as they were, and accepted the simple fare that was offered. Jesus came to the men where they were, factually and figuratively, breathing his words of peace and demonstrating that he was very much alive in body and soul by eating a piece of fish. The passage ends with Jesus telling his disciples that they were witnesses, eyewitnesses to the greatest event in history, the redemption of the world from sin and death. And all this became the backstory to that simple meal of broiled fish. Jesus called his disciples witnesses. To be a witness is more than to have observed goings on. To be a witness involves telling and retelling the goings on that you have seen and heard. The disciples were faithful to that calling. Had it not been so, St. Luke would not have been able to write such a detailed account of the good news. He wrote, not just to his friend Theophilus that he should know the truth, but by the grace of God, he wrote to you and me. And by the grace of God, we have been drawn into the fellowship of faith that gathers week by week around the Lord's table to share bread and wine, the simplest of meals, but with the most wonderful backstory that tells of our salvation through the life, death, and resurrection of God's own Son, our Saviour, Jesus Christ. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.